morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to try to explain why these things are happening and what it means to you. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching and not to law, and by way of His one and only covenant. If you are rational, I promise this will be the best part of today's program. Our phone number, if you'd like to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say, or just add to the conversation, is 877-300-7645. In the SRN news segment this morning, we heard about Taliban-controlled territories and of it being an especially deadly day. It is amazing that America, the most military-prone nation on earth, a nation whose military spending and subsequent spy spending, intelligence spending, if we were to call it that, is greater than the rest of the world combined after 11 years in Afghanistan, still has large pockets of the country that are Taliban-controlled. Here's the story as reported by BBC. There is a great deal we can learn from what they have reported. That article begins, 17 civilians have been killed by Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province, reportedly for attending a party. Well, the first thing we read there is the misnomer, Taliban insurgents. The fundamentalist Muslims who are fighting for control of their country are not insurgents. They use terrorist tactics, although their favorite tactic typically is that of guerrilla fighting, and on this day they used it as well. This was a terrorist attack. But to misname fundamentalists who are trying to reclaim their control over their country, insurgents, is a complete corruption of the term. You know, it's like the second half of the program where we are specific, trying to identify the terms that God actually chose as opposed to the religious corruptions of those terms. The same thing is true in our politics and our support of our military in areas outside of religion. If we do not use words correctly, we deceive. These Taliban are fundamentalist Muslims. They aren't trying to replace Islam with anything. They're simply trying to take their country back. Well, it is their country only in the sense that they were in control of it before our invasion. The Taliban is an agency of the Pakistani government. The reason they attacked the party-goers is because Muhammad hated music. He hated dancing. And so in his Quran and in his hadith, he condemned both the dancing and music as being sinful. So since there is only one prophet in Islam, now Muslims would have a conniption fit with that statement. They list a whole host of scriptural prophets, those who knew Yahweh, as prophets of Islam, but it's kind of like the United States saying that Genghis Khan was the forefather of America. Simply making the statement when it is obviously false does not make it true. Since Muhammad's words and deeds are all that Islam has, and since he was opposed to music and dancing, the religion is opposed to music and dancing. That's why these people were killed. It is interesting, the next line of the article is, the bodies of two women and 15 men were found by the side of a road in the Musa Qala district. Now, the fact that they were found beside the road tells us that the intent of the attack was to inform, through terrorist tactics, the rest of the Afghanis. This was not a message to America. This was a message to other Muslims that they ought not express themselves in a way that is inconsistent with Islam. It is like what's happening in the rest of the Islamic world, where the Arab Spring is actually an Islamic reformation, where the religion is expressing itself in an ever more conservative, fundamentalist fashion. It is also interesting that two women were among those killed. The Taliban, in its primary means to incite hatred of the West and thus a motivation to act as a jihadist and suicide bomber against the West, is to infer that the West is out to kill and has killed Muslim women and children, when in fact the vast preponderance of Muslim women and children who are killed by Muslims. This next line from the BBC speaks of the savagery of the Islamic religion. They were either beheaded or had their throats cut. Some showed signs of beatings. Others had additional wounds. Islam is the most savage religion probably ever conceived by humankind. Now, if you were to just rank religions in terms of their carnage, socialist secular humanism would be the worst, with the Nazis and the communists of Germany, Russia, and China killing more people, especially when you combine Pol Pot and in Cambodia, killing more people in the last 100 years than all religions combined. But next to them, you probably have to stack the carnage of Roman Catholicism. But when it comes to just pure savagery, to people acting like this, where they behead women, where they drag beheaded bodies who have been tortured out into the streets, proud of what they have done, it's pretty hard to beat Islam. They are numero uno when it comes to such savagery. And of course, that is a direct derivative of Muhammad. It's a direct mirror of Muhammad's wannabe God. Allah is depicted savagely throughout the Quran. He is depicted terrorizing innocent civilians, killing them, enslaving them. He is depicted spending almost all of his time in hell with graphic tortures, ripping the skin off the victims that are in hell, and then giving them a new skin so he can rip the skin off again, pouring molten pitch down their throats. He is a sadistic God, and his prophet was engaged not only in mass murder, but in tortures. And that is why Islam is so vicious today. In the next line from the BBC, it reads, meanwhile, 10 Afghan army soldiers were killed in a Taliban attack in the same province. In eastern Afghanistan, 2 U.S. soldiers were shot dead by an Afghan National Army soldier. This is the ongoing curse of Afghanistan. The majority of Americans who are dying in Afghanistan are not dying as a result of fighting the Taliban. That's in third place. They're not dying as a result of improvised explosive devices. That is now in second place. They're dying primarily at the hands of the men that they themselves are training and equipping with weapons. They're dying as a result of American guns and American bullets misplaced into the hands of what is now the Afghan National Army. You know, you can take the Muslim out of Afghanistan, but you can't take the Islam out of the Muslim. The bodies of the 17 civilians were discovered this morning. Local officials said that the men had gathered to listen to music and to watch the women dance when they were attacked. The Taliban disapprove of men and women mixing socially. Again, it's part of Islam. Muhammad actually hated women, which is odd since he had such a large harem, but his harem was mostly comprised of women that he abused. It was comprised of little children. whom and his 50s were as young as 6 to 9 years old. It was comprised of rape victims, women who were part of communities that Muhammad had his militants terrorize, and after killing the men, chose to rape the women, and many of the women they brought back with them as sex slaves. So it wasn't exactly that his harem was comprised of loving relationships with these women. He abused them. And one of the things that Muhammad was always worried about, he was an insecure individual, and as an insecure individual, he wanted his women off limits from everyone else. He's the one who created this, women shall be separate from men. And because he hated women, he made certain that women were inferior to men. The Quran says that a woman is only worth half that of a man. In his farewell sermon, of course, he said that women could be beaten by their husbands, they could be starved by their husbands, they could be locked naked in closets and ignored by their husbands. They can even be killed by their husbands should their husbands want to be rid of them. That's the reason they cannot be together. It's kind of interesting, though, of course, that the Islamic paradise, the reward for Islamic jihadists going off and murdering others, is that they are given multiple virgins to conquer. Why is it if men and women aren't to be together socially? The reward in the Islamic paradise is continual sex with virgins. The BBC continues to say, quote, I can confirm that this is the work of the Taliban, the Helmand provincial governor's spokesman Almaty told the AFP news agency. He added that the men and women were partying with music in an area under the control of the Taliban. Helmand province, largest province in Afghanistan, and after 11 years of fighting, it is still under the Taliban control. So, what are we to do? Are we to spend another 11 years there in Afghanistan, hoping that we have better results? More American dead, more Afghani dead? Or is it time to face the reality? This was an unwinnable war. We ought not have been there. We made a bad situation worse. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be with you again after the break. I am your host, Yada, 877-300-7645. Returning to this story from the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, we find that the 10 Afghani army soldiers who were killed lost their lives in a massive attack by the Taliban on their checkpoint in southern Helmand on Monday morning. As many as 200 insurgents were involved in the assault, 11 of whom were killed. You know, again, we've got to use words correctly. If you want to describe armed Taliban militants who are attacking their own, attacking either those who are in the army, the police, the government, or just civilian party goers, you have a variety of terms at your disposal. One of them is not insurgents. And the fact that there is a collusion of terms, of words that are used by the politically correct, by those in politics, by those in the media, by those in academia, by those in the military to describe people errantly tells you that there is a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy to deceive because terms like this are used ubiquitously, and they're wrong. You can call these men jihadists because that is the religious term for them. You can call them mujahideen because that is also the religious term for them. There are specific terms in Islam for fighting in Allah's cause. Yeah, it's a religion so born out of war, so conceived out of terrorism, its most noble terms, its most holy terms, are jihad and mujahid, the plural being mujahideen. Let's call them by their name. If you don't like those terms when they attack, why don't we call them Islamic terrorists? They're terrorists. Their motivation is Islam. That would be fine. When they're attacking a government institution, then they are Islamic guerrillas. You could use the term Islamic militants. But let's at least use the right term. Let's explain why they're killing Islam. Let's identify them with the sole motivation for their savage behavior, Islam. And if then we aren't willing to fight the motivation for their behavior, the lone thing that motivates them, the only thing important to them, if we aren't willing to attack, to fight, to forestall, to expose and condemn, the one thing these Islamic terrorists have in common, these jihadists and mujahideen, then we ought not be there. Because otherwise all we're doing is lashing out its symptoms. If the use of the correct terminology, Islamic jihadist, Islamic mujahideen, isn't acceptable, then it is not acceptable to be there. 4 soldiers were wounded and 6 others were also missing following the attack in the Washir district, a senior official told the AFP. The 2 soldiers with the NATO-led force in Afghanistan were killed in the Lakhman province by an Afghan army soldier who was subsequently killed by NATO troops. Once again, the most deadly aspect of being in Afghanistan as an American are the very Afghani police and army units that America is paying, that America is putting in uniform, and that America is equipping with guns and bullets. It is those that we are trying to turn the country over to who are the most prone to kill us. Now, if that is not suicidal, what is? How is it more suicidal to strap a suicide bomber's vest to your chest and blow yourself up amongst others than it is to give a gun to someone who hates you and give them live ammunition? The last times that this has happened, it wasn't even 5 minutes from the time the Afghani Muslim was handed their weapon and the time that they discharged their weapon, killing the American trainers. There's something deeply troubling about this that America is not yet willing to embrace. And perhaps that is because America does not know who they are fighting in Afghanistan and why they cannot win. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back after the break, and I will address a question that Nick from Wisconsin posed during our last break. Hello, and welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're in between stories on the consequence of the misguided intervention in Afghanistan. We're going to return just in a moment here to a story that we were considering on Friday morning regarding the fact that now 2,000 Americans have lost their lives in Afghanistan. The first 1,000 during the first 9 years of that war, the most recent 1,000 during the last 2 years, showing that the Obama administration, knowing full well that the war was lost, that it could not be won, sacrificed the lives needlessly of another 1,000 Americans. I would call that murder. You can call it whatever you wish. Nick from Wisconsin. Nick is the person who likes to try to exonerate Mohammed from being a pedophile. by suggesting that when the six-year-old girl was thrown into his lap when he was 50 years old in her bedroom, and all of the adults left Mohammed with a six-year-old girl in his bedroom, and it talked about Mohammed consummating his marriage with her, that that wasn't pedophilia. Nick, in a subsequent conversation, has called and said, you know, America should not leave Afghanistan because if we leave Afghanistan, those Afghanis who have supported America will be killed. Yes, that is a true statement. But the fact is, no matter when America leaves Afghanistan, and America should never have entered Afghanistan, but no matter when we leave, that will be the case. There's no way to avoid it. And so that which is inevitable, you ought to not continue to sacrifice lives to prevent that which cannot be stopped. This morning, Nick called and said that he heard public radio praising Islam. I wanted to know my reaction to that. There is a common bond amongst those who are socialist, secular, humanists and Muslims. They both hate Christianity. They both hate Yahweh. They both hate the Torah. And so, as Shin Tzu wrote, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the very fact that Muslims are anti-Christian is sufficient for most socialist secular humanists to associate with them, to praise them. One of the most interesting aspects of socialist secular humanism is this notion of political correctness and multiculturalism. You see the coexist bumper stickers on socialist secular humanist cars. They are accepting of everything that they do not understand, even when that which they accept is counter to what they themselves believe. It is as if you could blend Islam and Sikhism and Hinduism and Judaism and Christianity and socialism all together, and you would just have one noble means to live, and they would all get along, when the opposite is true. The embracing of many lies does not create a truth. One of the things that is interesting about socialist secular humanism, which will be reflected in National Public Radio, is that they have made, through political correctness, being judgmental a crime. And so presenting evidence and reviewing it rationally is not part of their shtick. It's the same thing that's true in any religious venue. Evidence and reason don't matter. But in political correctness, being judgmental is a sin. And since they are no longer willing to be judgmental, they can't be rational. And therefore, evidence means nothing. If you can't process evidence using good judgment, the evidence does you no good. So you just talk about effects and symbolism and the like. And again, the evidence and its moral conclusions are irrelevant to you. All you have to do to know that Islam is perverse is to look at the countries that are Islamic. Look at them. There's some 55 of them in the world. They're amongst the, of those 55, 50 of them are amongst the least civilized places on earth to live, the most impoverished, the places with the least amount of hope, the most violent, the most backwards, the least educated, the least free places on earth to live. If that's not Islam's fault, whose fault is it? That's all you need to do. Or if you want to have a bit more evidence and reason to back up your conclusions, read Prophet of Doom. It is the most comprehensive presentation of the Islamic scriptures. Best documented, most contextual, most chronological rendering of the five sources that were written about Muhammad and his creation of Islam within 200 years of the Prophet's life and death. Read them. Come to know why Islam is so uncivilized. Come to embrace the reality that 99% of terrorist acts today are perpetrated by Muslims. If Islam is worth praising, why are 99.9% of today's terrorist acts perpetrated by Muslims. If Islam is praiseworthy, why are the Islamic countries the most hellish places on earth to live? All you have to do is think. If Islam is praiseworthy, why did those 19 fundamentalist Muslims shout out Allahu Akbar as they flew planes into our buildings on 9/11? Why did the most fundamentalist Muslims in Afghanistan this morning murder 17 civilians for doing nothing more than playing music and dancing, for being happy? I'm going to return now to the story that we were considering on America's longest war. This is the story that we were reviewing on Friday. It continues and reads, though Afghanistan is now considered the nation's longest war, longer than Vietnam, imagine that. You know, what's amazing here in terms of the comparison between Vietnam and Afghanistan is that coterminous with the time that we, America, invaded Afghanistan, I told America through hundreds upon hundreds of radio programs and in writing that Afghanistan would mirror all of the lessons that we did not heed in Vietnam, including a winless war that we would just continue to fight and ultimately would give up, leaving a bad situation worse, having spilt blood and coin. Well, it's now considered the nation's longest war at 128 months and counting. The number of dead is less than half the total in the Iraq War, where more than 4,480 died in 8 years. Oh, swell. There's some resounding logic. Afghanistan is not so bad because in nearly 11 years, only 2,000 and change Americans have died. Where in 8 years in Iraq, 4,480 Americans were killed for nothing to make a bad situation much worse. There's some comparative reasoning. We ought not be concerned that over 2,000 Americans have lost their lives, making a bad situation worse in Afghanistan, because more than twice that many died, making a bad situation worse in Iraq. In fact, it says here, more active duty and reserve soldiers killed themselves last year, 278, than died in combat in Afghanistan, 247. What it doesn't tell you is those 278 that killed themselves last year did so as a result of their combat duty in Afghanistan, doubling the number. What America's government is asking Americans to do in Afghanistan is crazy-making. To this mantra that you're going in to deliver freedom to people who want to kill you, who hate you, is so absurd that you're going in to protect people that you know want you dead is so absurd. And the resulting carnage is so savage. There's no way to live with it. It makes you crazy. Which is why as many Americans took their lives who had been there as were killed while there. You know, it's like saying that, well, you know, we really got a pretty good value in Afghanistan. We only squandered $1 trillion in Afghanistan, and we did so over 11 years. And look at Iraq. We squandered $3 trillion in Iraq in only 8 years. Look how much better a value Afghanistan is. Are we insane? What's happened to our ability to reason? But that was solace, according to this journalist. That was solace because none of that brings solace to the families of the dead. It should bring solace to you Americans to know the comparative value. But it doesn't bring solace to the families of the dead. For the Buckleys of Oceanside, New York, their son's death so near the end of his tour, so late in the long war, and possibly at the hand, not possibly, at the hand of a purported ally. He was killed by an Afghani soldier less than 5 minutes after the Afghani soldier was handed an American weapon. Was uniquely anguishing. Let me put this in perspective for you. I meticulously studied the deaths of the first 500 soldiers in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And it was extraordinarily anguishing because all but five of the first 500 American soldiers killed in Afghanistan and in Iraq, all but five were killed by the very people that they purported to be defending or by friendly fire. I should throw in accidents as well. Accidents, friendly fire, they were killed by fellow Americans. Or they were murdered by the very people that our government said we were going in to liberate, to give democracy to. Only five of the first 500 deaths died fighting the government, the armed faction of the government we claim to be deposing. It was anguishing. And you know what our military did and what our governments did to create a sense of heroism, the sense of, well, they're out there defending American freedoms? They lied. In virtually every case where friendly fire, an accident, or an insurgent attack, as they now call them, a mujahideen, a jihadist attack was perpetrated, the military and the government lied about how those people were killed, all to deceive you into supporting a winless war that should have been stopped 11 years ago. We'll return to this story in the last segment of Shattering Myths this morning. I am your host, Yada, 877-300-7645. News segment of the Shattering Myths program. After this, we will turn our attention to Yah's Torah teaching. This review of the America's longest war, it's a suicidal war, suicidal, I say, based upon the evidence and reason. It was suicidal because, A, it could not be won. There was no way to fight a war against a symptom of Islam and yet praise and embrace the religion as America has done. And so long as Islam exists in the majority of Afghanis, they will not be democratic. They will not be free. They're not going to embrace a different lifestyle, which was the stated hope of our invasion. And by invading Afghanistan, based on a lie, this notion that Afghanistan was somehow accountable for 9/11 was a complete lie. We pushed the most fundamentalist Muslims out of Afghanistan and into Pakistan, where they have destabilized the country, and that's a nation with nuclear weapons. That was suicidal. So we made a bad situation worse with our invasion. As it relates to that mistake, Mrs. Buckley, whose son was murdered by someone America mistakenly gave a gun to, recounted the things that her son loved: basketball, girls, movies, the beach. Bitterness choked her words. Quote, "Our forces shouldn't be there," she said. "It should be over. It's done. No more." End quote. It never should have happened, folks. I'm not the smartest guy on the planet by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not the best informed. I'm not the most rational. And yet I knew, long before anyone in America was saying what Afghanistan would bring, why we would fail, why it would be counterproductive, why we could not win there, why we would make a bad situation worse. 11 years ago, I was telling everyone who would listen that it's should never have happened, that there was no way to win, that all we were going to do is make a bad situation worse and lose so much in the process, including Mrs. Buckley's son, for nothing. Well, not for nothing. We did make a bad situation worse, and it cost us dearly to do so. Mark Moyer, an independent national security analyst who has studied the battalion's operations, said that the British, who had preceded the Marines in Sengen, a district in Helmand, focused on economic development and political outreach to undermine the insurgency. There it is again. Same word, different article, different journalist. Conspiracy, folks. They are real. But the Taliban also operated with near impunity in parts of the district, he said. The battalion took a different approach, pushing into Taliban-dominated villages. Fighting was intense, with civilians often getting caught in the middle, and the casualties piled up fast. In other words, our strategy was to put Americans with guns in the middle of these villages so that they would be killed, and so that civilians would be killed in the crossfire. We continued to act stupidly. On October 8th, barely 2 weeks after the battalion had begun these operations as a result of Obama's surge, it lost its first Marine, Lance Corporal John T. Sparks. 5 days later, four Marines in the battalion died when their armored truck was destroyed by a powerful bomb. Three more died the next day when they stepped on a mine during a foot patrol. Stupid. You know, when stupidity pushes your soldiers, who you are in control of, into a deadly situation like this for nothing, you have to wonder, when does the term murder apply to the President of the United States? The rapid-fire deaths prompted calls in Washington for the battalion to pull back. But senior Marine commanders, who, of course, weren't with them, including the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Jason Morris, prevailed on Secretary of Defense Robert Gates to leave them in place. Next time that you salute a Marine, next time you choose to honor a Marine, know that guys like Lieutenant Colonel Jason Morris bear blame. Their hands are covered with the blood of America's children. Quote, "Everyone was shocked, including me, that we lost so many guys that quickly. But honestly, me and most of my Marines would rather have come home in body bags than let the Taliban claim victory." If that's your mindset, you're as good as dead. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back after a moment.
Despite what medical experts tell you, it's just not possible to get all the nutrients your body needs from food. Minerals are essential for good health, but not all soils contain